Today, documentary films are experiencing a major renaissance, and for good reason. But why are audiences increasingly choosing fact over fiction?
Is it a dearth of realism, like endless comic book sequels and end-of-the-world action movies? Are viewers choosing authentic storytelling over spectacular visuals and far-fetched plots?
Or maybe it's because docs f***ing rule. Hi, I'm Parker Romaine.
And I'm George Chen.
And we host SupDoc.
We didn't go to film school. We're just two comedians that dork out on docs.
And since 2015, we've been recapping amazing documentaries with comedians, actors, and filmmakers like legendary comedians Dana Gould and Todd Glass.
Musicians like Yacht and Dan Deacon.
And even media stars like Jesse Thorne and Francesca Fiorentini.
The AV Club called us enlightening, and Boing Boing said, SupDoc is a great idea for a podcast.
So find us wherever you get your podcasts or join us at supdocpodcast.com.
And follow us on social media at SupDoc Podcast.
Jessica Baldoni.
And I'm Jacob Rubin.
And today we have a very special guest. It's Frank Gogol, writer of No Heroin, Live Number 2. I think we both have it.
We both
read it. Oh, good. We both read it. I'm glad. Do you have your own copy, Frank? Number one.
That's number one, though. Yeah. That's a different one.
This is a prop, though. It's not the real thing.
Oh, is it just the cover?
Yeah. Oh, okay. That's what I'm proud of, copies. But you've read the new one, right?
Yeah. It was all right.
We're glad that you've read your own comic. Thank you for being on the show today. How's everything going in pandemic land for you?
I don't know. What day is it? Is it still March?
Could be.
It was April for like a couple hours, and then I think that ended. Yeah.
I'm doing better now. I can get myself a pumpkin spice latte. I've got an elliptical in my home office now. Like, there's some semblance of normalcy again, but
nice.
Fucking sucks.
Yeah.
We have a very nice setup, like, behind you. It looks very organized.
Yeah.
Unlike our setup behind us, which is very...
This is very organized. We just had a guy come in and said how he was happy at how organized we were.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
It looks unorganized.
Yeah, if you were looking at what we're physically looking at, you'd see how much of a mess. Have you been in the store, Frank?
Oh, a bunch of times. Can't find
it.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
I didn't work here for much.
That's true. It's Escapist Podcast Part 2.
Right.
Part 3. Part four,
yeah.
Yeah, okay.
How many different iterations?
Yeah.
Yeah.
At least the second time.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah, because you were here when Jesse was here.
Yeah.
Yeah, now Jesse has parts of metal in his face.
Yeah. For those of you Escapist fans who are wondering what happened to Jesse, well, he doesn't work here anymore, but on an unrelated note, he did break his jaw horribly.
Yeah.
And he's fine.
He's fine. Do you follow Jesse on Instagram at all or anything?
I do, but it's such a mess. I can't see anything from anyone anymore.
Yeah. He's like a Frankenstein.
He's doing smoothie reviews.
Yeah.
Nice.
His jaw's like wired shut right now. Anyways, we wish him the best.
Right. Let's get into No Heroin.
Yeah, let's talk about your comic.
Do it.
How about that? Okay.
So what was the original impetus that made you really want to do this series?
I've talked about this so much, I can't even remember. I love Buffy. That's really... It's what it is. I wanted to write a Buffy comic. And the truth about like work for hire and license stuff is a handful of people really ever get to do it. I think maybe 100 people have ever gotten to write a Spider-Man comic in 60 years. And on Buffy, it's like maybe 10 right now. So odds were always going to be, I probably won't. So I knew at some point I wanted to, but it really came down to, Chris Madden, who did the art for the book, he asked me if I had a book for him. He wanted to work with me. And we're buddies from back when I lived in New Jersey. We shared a comic shop. So he was like, you know, if you ever want to do a book, I was, you know, let's talk. And I was like, yeah, okay. Yeah, if I come up with something. And that's sort of like a nice thing you say to people, because you want to work with everybody, but the truth is you only get to make so many comics because it's expensive and time consuming. Yeah, he's a friend. So I was like, yeah, we'll see what happens. And like the next day I had the script written, and it was just crazy. between Chris, his art style, some personal history stuff with me and my family, and loving Buffy and wanting to tell like a vampire slayer type story, like the book kind of just came together like out of nowhere. It was crazy.
Sweet.
Nice.
And when you're talking about like a Buffy style book, or just like vampire slayers in general, would you want to do like a monster of a week type book, like every time? Because that's what I noticed on like one and two. It's like we start off with vampires and we go to werewolves. Is number three going to be like a new monster?
Yep. Sort of by design, sort of by necessity. Originally, this was going to be a one shot. Because I was, right before I started writing number one, I was getting ready to write Dead End Kids. So this book's older than Dead End Kids at this point. I wrote the first issue of this, and then I wrote all of Dead End Kids, and Dead End Kids had its success. And this kind of got derailed a little bit, and I didn't end up finishing it until a while later. So originally it was just going to be a one shot. And then Chris and I are like, well, this character's pretty cool. We like what she's got going on. How can we extend the story? And one of the things I like about TV that comics doesn't do really well is that you kind of build your story over lots of episodes. So like you have a season arc, but you see it play out over kind of mini stories, and you know, it's sort of like a string of pearls. So we were like, well, that would make this a way to extend the story and still have like a character arc without, you know, kind of like having to make it up as we go. But also it was just kind of like a nice way to homage, you know, Buffy and that kind of storytelling, you know, kind of monster of the week. I grew up loving that. So it was fun to do it this way.
Yeah, those are the best episodes too. Like X-Files, same too. Mm-hmm. I didn't like the X-Files storylines. The Monster of the Week episodes are always my favorite as well.
Yeah. Yeah, it was always really like, because when you're doing the long arcing stuff, you kind of have to like, all right, this has to feed into this, which has to feed into this. But with Buffy, it could be like, yeah, it's an egg and it's evil and it wants to kill you. And also the swim team are fish. Don't worry about it.
Exactly. Yeah.
And so we got to do more than one monster and just keep it fun and kind of tackle like different things in kind of like a silo while still building the larger arc of Kayla and what she's going through.
Yeah, it was neat how this issue like paralleled her fighting a werewolf with her backstory, which we didn't really get to see as much of in the previous issue.
Yeah, I like I like second issues a lot, because the first issues you kind of have like housekeeping to do. You got to set up and introduce characters and like get the story moving. And the second issue of everything I write, it's always a lot more breezy and just organic, I guess.
Yeah.
And without spoiling anything, or maybe I'm gonna spoil it. I'm gonna spoil issue two. You do want to read. Just skip over this part. I just want to know, like, what are her goals behind like monster hunting? Like, because she doesn't kill somebody in issue two. There we go. We'll do that. What are her goals?
In the first issue, she kind of falls into monster hunting. It's not something she chooses. It's almost an anti-Buffy story in that way. Like, she's not the chosen one. There's no destiny. She just has very selfish reasons for wanting to save somebody and kind of falls into this. So in the second one, it's kind of an extension of that. She's doing the right thing for the wrong reasons, and kind of looking at this not very easy thing to do as like the easier option than the right thing, which without spoiling anything, I can't say much. But essentially she's, you know, she wants a win so she can feel better about what she's doing, so she can feel like she's earned forgiveness for some stuff that gets talked about in the issue.
Right. Okay. didn't like that guy. No, I was kidding.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I was surprised at the, I mean, should we just spoil it at this point?
Yeah, sure.
You already said, skip over it. So when she doesn't kill the guy.
Yeah.
And I figured that had to do with like, I mean, similarly to what we saw in Buffy and other werewolf media, it's like, well, a vampire is like objectively a monster that should be destroyed.
Right. Soulless.
Yeah, but werewolves, and I figured that's really the motivation. She's like, I'm not going to kill this dude. just right. because he sucks.
Yeah.
That might be part of it. Really what it was for me was this issue is about her, the part of her character arc where she realizes, you know, that she, the truly heinous things she did and that she has to live with those things. Like, it's not like right. they get erased because she's doing good stuff. And then this guy does the horrible thing that we won't spoil. And now he has to live with what he's done. Okay.
Right. What if he does it again?
Yeah. I mean, why doesn't Batman kill the Joker? Like, there's all, that's like, true, it's yeah. I mean, not to say that.
That you're comparing Batman to a horrible beating werewolf? Woman I mean, beating Batman werewolf?
Don't compare Joker.
Oh, okay.
What? How did you get that from what I said?
I don't know. You're talking about Batman killing the Joker.
No, she's
Batman. Oh, she's Batman. Okay, sorry. I got that mixed up.
He's terrible. He's just a thug. He's a fascist. He just runs around beating up people with no authority.
Yeah. This is, yeah. Okay, Batman. I should probably phase out Batman. Okay, why doesn't Spider-Man kill
the Green Goblin?
Well, he kind of has.
He kind of has
yeah,
twice.
So yeah. That's, yeah, that's a weird one. Why doesn't he kill Dr. Octopus? Dr. Octopus doesn't really like
him. I've written a very good traditional comic book. Where the character doesn't kill people.
Right, that's true. Yes. Exactly. Yeah. So Buffy never killed a werewolf.
No, she didn't kill the lady werewolf.
She runs off.
Yeah. Yeah.
She runs off, yeah. She thought about it, though.
She did.
Thought about it real hard.
She could have killed
She did.
She killed Faith?
No, she didn't kill Faith. Well, she stabbed her.
She stabbed
her. She thought she killed her.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. She falls,
and then she falls into the dump truck. Yeah.
Lucky what a good show.
Yeah. Speaking of Buffy.
We actually have prepared.
You didn't do yours first?
Well, yours is multiple choice.
That's true. It is multiple choice.
So we thought we
have to be though.
Do you feel like testing your Buffy knowledge?
Mm-hmm.
I always feel like testing my Buffy knowledge.
All right.
Okay. Right. This is a real quick. There's even a few questions in common.
That's true.
A real quick 20 question quiz. I'll skip the easy ones. Actually, all of these are dope.
Yeah, warm.
I really
they
like.
They warm you up.
Yeah, they warm you. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Here we go. What Buffy character joined Angel at the beginning of the series Angel?
Like in the first episode beginning. Charisma Carpenter. What the fuck's her name? Cordelia.
Oh man, if that that'd been a miss.
No pressure.
Yeah. I also because Cordelia and Charisma are so similar. Usually
think. And that's just my least favorite character. I don't think she added a whole lot to the cast, personally.
I loved her at first, but then
at Angel. Yeah, she took a real dive.
Yeah.
That wasn't her fault though. That was the writing.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's 100%.
Yeah.
On the other hand, hot take, his arc from when we first see him in Buffy to when we last see him in Angel, Wesley is my favorite Buffyverse character.
Oh, yeah. He's top. Yeah. For sure.
Yeah.
He's crazy good.
Gotta go Spike.
All right. Okay, number two, what is the name of Oz's band?
Oh, that is a good one. Is it something Karma? I don't know. Pass.
That would be Dingoes Ate My Baby.
Damn it, I did know that.
It's always in the back.
Something Karma. Was that the name of the band on Daria?
I think you're just thinking Charisma Karma.
Oh, sure.
Charisma Karma.
Oh, Mr. Spirals.
Mystic Spirals, yeah.
Buffy season 8.
Okay, number.
He's like a monk in Buffy season 8, the comic book, or he's up with the monks.
That's it, yeah.
Okay.
What was Giles' nickname back in his days as a rogue magician?
Was it as a rogue magician? Is it different than Ripper?
No, it's not.
You got it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ripper.
That's it. Yeah. Which I'm sure was just because it kind of sounds like Rupert.
I never thought about that.
Yeah.
Oh.
Well, the first time, what's his name? Ethan Rain says it. I'm just like, is that, what accent is that? Is that how you say Rupert wherever you're from in England?
Really?
But yeah, no. That's what I
thought. I thought it sounded cool.
Yeah. Ripper, yeah.
Ripper.
What is the title of Spike's song in Once More With Feeling?
Hang on, I know this one. Let Me Rest?
You're close.
What are the next two words?
In peace.
There we go.
That is one of the questions in the other quiz.
Maybe I saw this and stole questions.
Maybe you did. Yeah.
All right, number five. What is Anya afraid of?
Rabbits, bunnies.
Bunnies. Number six. What is Buffy's middle name?
Anne.
Yeah. Oh, nice. Okay, cool. Good. That one trips me up all the time.
I said Anne one time because I was thinking about your wife.
Oh, sure. I thought it was, what do you call it? What's her name in Tabula Rasa? Joan. Number seven, what is the name of the traditional Irish ring Angel gives to Buffy in the second season?
Clotta.
Clotta ring, yes. Number eight, who turned Spike into a vampire?
Darla. No.
Dark?
Wait, I'm trying to remember the order here. All right, so it's...
Your answer is wrong.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is. Oh, Spike. Oh, I thought it said, I'm sorry. I thought it said who turned Angel into a vampire. Which is one of my questions.
Oh, okay. Drusilla. Yes. Because it goes the Master, Darla, Angel, Drusilla.
Okay. I'm mixing up my own questions.
Number nine, who played Buffy in the movie?
Christy Swanson,
who, by the way, has very problematic politics.
Does she really?
Yep.
Boo.
Yeah.
It's streaming on Hulu right now.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
Luke Perry?
Luke Perry!
Paul Rubens?
Yes!
Oh, pulling out.
Number 10, in season 5, Glory would occasionally transform into a human named Ben. What was Ben's job?
He's a doctor.
Correct. Number 11, what weapon does Buffy use to destroy the Judge?
The Judge. Like a rocket launcher.
Yep. Yeah.
Very good.
Number 12, who killed Principal Snyder?
The mayor?
Yes. Yep.
And it
jumps him right down. Yeah. Great moment. Number 13, where is Riley from?
Like, more specifically? Like, what country?
Like, what state?
Yeah, what state? Yeah.
God, I'm at it. That's
Clue, it's a title of an episode, right? Isn't it?
It's in the title of an episode. Yeah.
Is it West Virginia?
Like, no. No. West Virginia Carpenter. That's Clint Cordelia. he's from Iowa.
Yeah.
And I think his last episode is called Goodbye Iowa.
It's Goodbye Iowa, yeah.
That's a good one. What is the name of the demon who bewitches Sunnydale in the episode Once More with Feeling?
So that one's hard.
Just watched this too. He sings it.
He doesn't just watch that.
I don't know that his name is ever actually said in the dialogue or lyrics or anything.
Is it like?
Yeah, I'm not sure.
Something.
Sweet. His name is Sweet.
No, he sings it. Yeah, that's his name for sure.
He does say it? Okay.
Yeah, I couldn't remember.
And like probably in his like villain song, and he says it like really briefly, and then just like number 15, what object is Buffy gifted by the members of her graduating class as a thank you for protecting them?
Oh, ooh, that's a good one.
Yeah, at the prom.
I don't remember.
She's given like a ceremony, like they do the prom king and queen. Was Cordelia a prom queen? No. She wasn't popular anymore. They give her a parasol.
Because she protected them. Yeah.
I don't know.
Remember that one? No, it was so nice. It was like a glass parasol, almost, it looked like.
That's really the only memorable thing about that episode.
Yeah, I don't know.
That's the one where like demon dogs attack the prom, but Buffy like stops them, so none of the students even notice.
Oh yeah, they're like invisible to them too, right? The students, aren't the dogs invisible? Am I mixing that up with something else?
I don't recall that aspect of it. I think she's just really good at her job at that point, and then just to completely keep
the metaphor.
Invisible demon dog? They were invisible, weren't they?
Were they?
That's the metaphor. Like they don't know that she's saving them, and that's like always how it is.
Yeah.
They were invisible.
No, that's from Supernatural.
Oh. Okay.
I'm mixing them up, but still. Maybe they were. I don't remember. I'll have to watch it again.
Supernatural?
No.
Oh, okay.
Though I did actually start watching Supernatural again. Sorry. And Smallville. Yes. Okay. Supernatural's a good show.
I just rewatched Smallville. Super good still.
Really? Right?
Yeah, Smallville has some really solid stuff.
Yeah. I just got to the episode where the JSA is in it, and it's like, but it's like super old JSA, and it's like Star Spangled Kid and Sandman and somebody else. Oh, like, Stargirl.
It's like season nine.
Yeah, it's that late.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's are they like super old?
Yeah.
They're like old men?
Yeah.
So it's like a Mermaid Man and Barnacle Boy situation?
Yes. Yes. And you're like, Star Spangled Kid, that is not a kid. Why is he so old? Yeah. Anywho. It's good. I completely forgot about that season. Like, it just not in my memory at all. So it's like watching it new.
That's Lois is a major player in those, right?
Yeah, they're Lois and Clark are like together now.
Oh, okay.
Like a couple. Yeah.
But he's still Superboy.
Yeah, he's still Superboy. And he's not wearing the glasses. Like, he wears them in one episode. And you're like, you're not, you got to put a disguise on, man. Yeah. And he wears like a black Superman outfit. Yeah. Like, it's really bizarre.
Did he come back from the dead?
No.
That is blasphemous.
Okay. He did fight Doomsday, though. Killed him.
I mean, part of me is like, who cares? It's just like, let's adapt it. It's fun. Adaptation's fun. But also, I'm like, no, things happen in an order. Okay.
Question
number 16.
16, yeah.
Who takes Xander's virginity?
Ooh.
Correct. Great moment.
Yeah.
Because he's like, so did that, it just happens, and you're like, but it's over before you even realize what's going on.
I mean,
zing, nice. Number 17, in the episode The Wish, what wish does Anya grant for Cordelia?
Specifically, oh, she wishes,
you know, I mean, you don't
get the exact wording. Buffy never existed.
Sorry?
She wishes Buffy never existed or never came to Sunnydale.
Yes, right, that's it. Yeah. Because then she does eventually come to Sunnydale in the episode.
Yeah, at the end of the episode. Yeah.
But yes, correct. Nicely done.
Right.
Number 18, what is the name of Willow and Tara's cat?
Mr. Something? I don't know.
Miss Kitty Fantastico!
I think they later reveal that she has a longer full name.
Does she do that?
Maybe it's like a joke in one episode, but like, I think Miss Kitty Fantastico is it.
Yeah, that's it.
Number 9, a number of times during the series, mention is made of another Hellmouth below what American city?
God, I couldn't remember this one.
It's a Midwestern city. Is it?
Yes. Cool?
It's in Ohio, right?
It is, yeah.
It does start with the C. You got that right.
You got the state right.
I don't know enough cities in Columbus or in Ohio.
But a lot of people say that.
Cincinnati.
It's Cleveland.
Cleveland.
Three major Ohio.
Three.
Major Ohio cities that start with C.
Cleveland, Columbus.
Cincinnati. Wow.
Cincinnati. Mm. Yeah, look at that.
Yeah, including in the finale when they're like, no more Hellmouth. And Giles is like, well, there's one in Cleveland.
That makes sense.
And finally, in the unaired pilot, which is only a half hour long and covers the plot of the first two episodes, it had the same casting as the episodes that followed with one exception.
Willow
is correct. There's actually two. There's another exception because Principal Flutie.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, right. But nobody...
Nobody cared about that.
Nobody cared about that. I only included that because you never know. You might get that one pedantic Buffy head.
I remember buying that like on VHS at like a con just so I could watch it.
It's
That's better than me. The one thing I've ever torrented in my life was that episode because I needed to see it. And I feel terrible about it because it wasn't even good.
No, it wasn't good.
And Joss really didn't want people to see it.
No.
Like, I love when, what's his name? Darla's buddy who dies in that episode. The other vampire who's like...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
that guy.
When he gets staked, it's a shot of him lying on the ground, snap cut to a pile of dust.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
That's really bad. Yeah, because that was even before they were doing, like, skeletons or... The first two seasons,
explode.
They just explode. Yeah. They didn't have the budget.
And then suddenly, I guess as the years passed, vampires got more durable skeletons.
Yeah. Mm-hmm, yeah. Well, good job.
Very nicely done. We weren't keeping score.
We weren't keeping score, but like, we think you did pretty good.
Good enough.
We don't need to do my Buffy quiz because they were almost the same.
A lot of the same questions. Yeah,
a lot of the same.
Then I'll get more right.
They are multiple choice.
Right. What else is in the news we got to discuss?
Oh, yeah, we have some stuff in the news. Before we do that, let's talk about any upcoming projects you have.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
This is your plug point.
Your plug point. You love the plug.
It's a weird spot where I can't talk about anything yet.
No, but we know that some things are coming up. Like, I've heard that Dead End Kids is coming out with a part two.
I can say with some assurance that some book with a two at the end of the name is coming out.
What?
Yeah.
I mean, come on. That's it?
You heard it here first, folks. No heroin two. She lives at the end of the three.
Dead End Kids is coming. It's it'll solicit in November and it'll come out in January. What can I say? It's a new cast of kids in a new place in a different time, sort of like true detective approach.
Okay.
I like that.
They asked me to do more, and I said the only way I would do it is if I found a story that I cared about. I really felt like I was done telling the other kids' stories, and like there's kind of a pin in the end of that story you can't undo. So this one, it'll be three kids in 2008 who are all sort of the children or relatives of people who either died in or suffered in some way because of 9/11. It's pretty dark. And it's a heist book. So it's sort of like the subtitle is The Suburban Job, which sounds a lot more fun than it's going to be. A little bit of a true detective approach to it. Sort of same dark adolescent storytelling, just a fresh batch of kids to torture.
Nice.
Cool.
I like that. I like books that like they're not going to have any like resemblance, right? Like there's no connection to the two books.
No.
Okay. That's fine. I like that. I like that true detective vibe too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I know a lot of people didn't like season two, but I'm a firm believer that you didn't like two either.
Colin
Farrell was great in that.
I thought the scene where he gets beat up by that kid's dad was pretty funny.
I think it'll be great.
I would say that it's got a little bit of like very thin connective tissue, like it's definitely the same universe, so there might be like little references for people who read the first one, but it'll stand completely on its own and fresh entry.
Does it seem take place in the same area?
So the first one took place in New Jersey and this one takes place in a different part of New Jersey.
Okay. So we'll still do Jersey Boys.
Yeah, well, it'll be awesome.
Sweet. Anything else that you can talk about?
I have another book that is way ahead of being announced that'll be out through Source Point next summer. But it's a sort of hard sci-fi book, very different from the stuff I've done before. I am developing a book that is not greenlit, but being developed with a very big publisher, top five. But I don't want to say anything about that because it could not happen, but it feels pretty good and I'm pretty excited about it. And yeah, I think it's a really good story. I'll make it one way or the other and we can talk about it when time comes. But it's pretty cool. I'm excited about it. It's nice to work with an editor too, to have like people to bounce stuff off of.
Yeah, definitely.
I'm a garbage storyteller. I need people to help me.
Indeed. I know what that is. No, it's good. You are garbage. I'm totally in this bucket.
I think that's the title of the episode.
Yeah. We are all garbage people. Right. Please help us all. Okay, we're moving on.
we got to get to the news.
Got to get to the news. We're going to talk about news. So we weren't around last week, so we're going to talk about all of the stuff that came out in the last 2 weeks. Is that cool? You want to help us? Please help us. So DC Fandom was 2 weeks ago, right?
Yeah, it started while we were recording the previous episode.
Right. Supposedly, I think it's happening this weekend, too.
What?
They're doing part two.
Okay.
More fandom. And doming.
More domes.
More domes.
So it's two domes.
Two domes.
The double dome.
That sounds like too much dome.
That's too much dome.
Oof. Well, but we already got the Batman trailer.
Yes.
Yes. And now, oh my God.
The Batman.
The Batman. And now the Batman has COVID.
I guess he's not invincible after all.
Yeah, not. Well, it just proves that he's mortal.
Right.
Just like us.
Yeah.
We can all be Batman.
And get COVID. Who else has COVID? The Rock. Maybe we shouldn't be filming movies right now.
Right? Yeah, the Black Adam.
They were filming Black Adam.
Yeah. And I don't know if he was filming it yet. They were just talking about it.
Oh, okay. I mean, I bet that there's a whole bunch of studios who are just not publicly talking about how they're doing stuff like in the green screen room and like the soundstage room.
Yeah. Because
they can do that really easy without, and they're just like, we're just getting these shots out of the way, but nobody's caring about protections or anything.
Yeah, because they don't have, the Batman does wear a mask, but not appropriately.
Yeah, not there. Actually, I was thinking about this.
What he needs?
Yeah, I have a Batman mask, so. Yeah.
And I have a Rorschach mask.
Yeah.
It's very appropriate that we covered our we covered our mouths for the podcast.
We did.
I'm safe. That's all that matters.
Right.
Right. You're in a white room.
Everybody stay home unless you're coming to Escapist Comics.
Yes. Come get your comics.
Okay. What characters from comics that have masks that just cover that? The only one I could think of off the top of my head was Shredder.
Is that a safe mask?
Spider-Man. Sorry?
Just Mouth
and Nose. Yeah, because there's, Spider-Man, Captain Britain, they all have, I was just reading Captain Britain.
Oh, I was like, Captain Britain's the first one that comes to your head?
I was just reading that cover their whole head. Mm-hmm. But who are the ones that just cover that?
Silk.
Damn it.
Psylocke? Sorry. Did we say it at the same time?
Yeah. Okay. That scorpion, the girl scorpion.
Oh, Jade and Katana and from Mortal Kombat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, sure. Yeah. Oh, totally.
Yeah.
Oh, and I guess
the actual mask on.
I guess Sub-Zero and Scorpion too.
Yeah, but they're not comic characters.
They're in comics.
Those comics don't count.
Okay. Oh, we're only kind of good comics.
Yeah, good comics.
Right.
So, none of the dynamite.
Right.
I hope that's not who you're going to work for.
Oh, God. Is that who you're working for?
Just say, you don't have to speak.
Blink twice. Blink twice and we'll stop talking shit.
We're
talking about how everyone making DC movies has COVID.
Oh yeah, that's
which
right.
is almost as if you shouldn't be making movies right now.
Or not DC movies.
Yeah, only DC movies. Just saying. Nobody on the set of Guardians 3 is sick.
Yet.
They're not filming. Are they filming it?
I don't know. No, because he's filming Suicide Squad. Or is that done?
Suicide Squad's probably done.
Oh. Okay. Yeah, they did show up. Okay, that's what we're going to talk about
it's
now.
James Gunn, I forgot.
Gunn, yeah, because he's doing both movies.
Yeah.
So maybe he gets COVID and then passes it to Guardians.
Ooh. Mm-hmm. James Gunn is your, I was going to say patient zero, but who knows.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
So what's your take on Suicide Squad?
Well, my take is that James Gunn giving both casts COVID is the Marvel DC crossover we've been asking for.
he is, what was the name? Access, the guy from the Marvel vs. DC crossover from the 90s?
The Algaman?
Yeah, the one with the... you want to take another run at that?
No, I don't. I do not. You know, I don't like words.
Amalgam.
Thank you.
No problem. I mean, I have said amalgam.
Amalgam. That's cool. Way worse.
Amalgam rock.
Every week I say a word and you correct me.
Right.
This is our thing.
Sorry.
If you say amalgam backwards, it undoes the crossover. Just like
makes it.
Oh. Is that in the book? No,
it's in the book that he can't talk about.
Oh, okay.
you're doing the new amalgam because it's the top five and because it's the top two working together to make the fifth dimension. And you made a Mr. Mix's Spitlick reference. I get it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Got it. I like this. Is going. Write it down.
I don't like doing that. I'll remember all my good ideas.
No, you won't.
That's why I'm so successful. So okay, but your take on Suicide Squad, like just after seeing the teaser.
I'm of the opinion that it'll probably, no matter what, be better than the first one. Not that the bar is very high. I got to be honest, more interested in the Suicide Squad video game than I am the movie, which was announced the same
video
day. Yeah.
Oh, sure.
Yeah. I'll be interested to see how all the cameos play out. I think I'm going to go to see Peter Capaldi die and the dude from SNL, what's his name? See him die. Just, I want to see all these.
Davidson and Blackguard. Yeah.
Exactly. I want to see how. Yeah. I bet this is going to be like Guardians, but like with no filter, like the same kind of ragtag, over the top, ridiculous goofiness, with a little bit of heart, but like no holds barred, which I'll be interested to see how it plays. I don't think it'll be a good movie either way, but I bet it'll be.
Idris Elba as Bloodsport
from
John Byrne's famed Man of Steel.
He'll be killed no matter what. He's gonna die.
You think they're gonna kill Idris Elba? I don't know, man.
I think the only new character that I feel very confident will make it all the way to the end is King Shark.
Gotta sell those toys.
Oh yeah, for sure. And Harley Quinn and King Shark walking off into the sunset with a big explosion behind them. Right.
I feel like Harley, Amanda Waller, Rick Flag, Captain Boomerang probably, maybe, and King Shark. Those are my final five.
Peacemaker's definitely going to take a shit.
Oh, Peacemaker's going to get blown up. Smithereens. Yeah.
I love it's the original suit, though.
Yeah.
Ugh. God, that the vibrator on top of his head.
Yeah, I can think of a dozen DC characters I'd rather John Cena was playing.
Oh, it's amazing. Yeah. I don't know. I'm excited.
Like, John Cena should have been Bizarro. I'll say it a million times.
Oh, I love that. Maybe he still can.
That's perfect.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Just talk of his face anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You don't even have to really do that. Like, have him talk backwards. He's funny.
He is funny.
Yeah, I think he should have been. I think he's a little too over the top to be Superman, but.
Yeah, no Superman.
Yeah.
He's not a Superman.
No, but I think Bizarro would really work.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Who's your next Superman?
Who I think should play Superman?
Yes.
I think we shouldn't have a Superman movie for like a decade.
Yeah, no.
We should. He should be around, but we shouldn't have a Superman movie. But I keep going back to like how they did Captain Marvel and Avengers Endgame, like just like this force of good who like lighting down, not the focus character, but coming in to like save the day in a big way and like bring smiles. Like that's
a Superman movie. Definitely.
Yeah, I think that's a cool, like Superman should be like, I think the idea of using Superman both as like, I don't want to use the term Deus Ex Machina, but like a power, like a force of like, yes, things are going to get better, but also like by taking him out, it establishes the seriousness of the threat.
Mm-hmm.
Like if you had, I don't know, Mongul or something as the next villain.
Yeah.
Mongul invades, first thing he does is takes out Superman, locks him up, then the heroes have to go save Superman. Great.
Yeah. Or like Mentallo or
Brainiac.
Brainiac. Let's, I know, we have to have Brainiac in a pink shirt.
All right, we have different hills to die on. I get it.
I want to see a Silver Age Superman movie
with the nodes on his head.
Yes,
yeah.
It'd be fun.
Yeah,
there could be several Brainiacs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. So we get like, so that's like the classic Brainiac.
Yeah, yeah.
Chilling and like, and he sends out Brainiac 13s and mm-hmm. whatnot. To, yeah. All right.
Fun Superman.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Perfect. Who's your Superman? Who do you want to get cast as Superman?
That's a hard one. I think Henry Cavill is the right guy. I think they just got to give him the right movie.
Right.
I want John Hamm.
Why?
I want old, like, fun, like, happy Superman.
He would be good for Kingdom Come Superman.
Yeah.
Yeah. He would be. Mm-hmm. I was thinking All-Star.
I just love John Hamm.
Okay, yeah. Yeah.
John Hamm is Jor-El.
That would be, no, but Jor-El's always, like, so serious.
You know who he'd be good at? John Hamm for Superman for All Seasons. He's got that, like,
there you go.
Yeah.
That would be good.
That'd be cool.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Oh, that's a great, I should reread that.
You should reread that.
Yeah. Tim Sale, right?
Mm-hmm.
Gorgeous.
Gorgeous. Lastly, Wonder Woman, 1984. The final trailer came out for that. Looks different.
Yeah.
I mean, Cheetah, Kristen Wiig was finally revealed.
If she, did we hear her talk?
Yes.
Oh, damn it. I was hoping she was doing the Target lady voice.
The Target lady voice? What's that?
Yeah, Target lady.
Oh, my God.
You know, the character with the hair with the bangs all the way around her head.
Yeah. No, she's very serious in this for, like, the first time.
Yeah.
As a cheetah lady.
As a cheetah, yeah.
What do you think, what is your take on using Cheetah as, like, the big villain?
I'm interested.
Like, you're interested.
It seems like they've embraced the sort of over the topness of the Silver Age with this one. Mm-hmm. I like, there's like going to be a magic bent to it, obviously, with bringing back fucking what's his face, should have been Green Lantern. Chris Pine.
Oh.
He's back?
He's back.
Oh, I didn't watch the teaser.
Oh, okay. Yes, he's back. Fully back.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Even though this takes place like 40 years later?
Yes.
Is he old?
Magic.
Oh, magic. Okay.
Yeah. She's also in an invisible jet.
Sick.
Yeah. Which is, I'm very excited about.
Of the DC movies, that's probably the one I'm excited most for, which isn't saying a whole lot, but I think it's going to be a good-looking movie, and it'll be fun, like, which every DC movie lacks.
Well, that's, I think, a key thing. I mean, Wonder Woman is far and away the best DCEU movie.
I loved Birds of Prey.
Haven't seen that one yet.
Yeah.
And I mean, I enjoyed Shazam.
Oh, yes, Shazam was good.
I just like Wonder Woman more.
Yeah.
I didn't see Aquaman.
Oh, that was terrible.
Okay.
God.
It's like two-fifths of a good movie. And
three-fifths.
Yeah. So you're saying it should have been longer?
No, they should have cut it by three-fifths.
Oh, gotcha.
So
okay.
Long. I had a friend who went to one of those, like, wait, was it you that went to, like, the, no, you didn't see it. They went to one of those, like, super experience movies where they, like, splash water on you 4D. And shit. Huh?
4D.
Yeah, 4D.
Oh, God.
And they saw Aquaman, and it, like, made them sick because there was, like, waves flowing, like, all about you. And, like, yeah, they literally spray you with water.
Did Jason Momoa's peck, like, come hit you in the face?
Yeah. I wouldn't mind that.
Is that one of the theaters where they have, like, the seats that move?
Yeah, the seats move. But it's not, like, the red ones, which are just, like, you know.
Like, someone told me they saw Solo in one of those, where it's, like, you're in, it's, like, when you see one of those cheesy 3D movies at an amusement park where, like, the seat bounces around.
Yeah.
And it's, like, but that's... I just want to sit down. I don't want to do that for an hour and a half.
No.
Yeah.
Oh, and there's like fish smells too, or like sea smells. That sounds horrible.
Oh, God.
I don't want to, for 2 hours?
Yeah.
Thanks. No. And what do they do for like, I don't know. What do they do for like Star Wars? What kind of smells do they play? Or like play? You're like in a market.
What do we think a Wookiee smells like?
A bad Yeah.
Because the first time we meet him in Solo, he's like been living in mud for who knows how long.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Aww.
Yeah.
Chewie.
What a Wookiee.
What a Wookiee.
One other thing I really want to talk about.
Yeah.
Did you see, Frank, have you watched the new Bill and Ted?
I watched it last night.
Oh my God, we did. Oh, I did too. Sorry.
Great, really so we can talk about it. Before we get into it, what did you think?
It was good. I liked it. Like, it didn't blow my mind.
I liked it.
It didn't rewrite, like, you know, the movie wheel or anything like that, but it was fun. It felt like it belonged. Like, a lot of these sort of revisit movies really feel, like, out of touch with the original, like, because the special effects are so much better or the storytelling is very different.
Yeah.
It really felt like it made sense. And in a way that they didn't really telegraph or lean into, it kind of tied the first two together in like a purposeful, like destiny kind of way. Like I liked it a lot. I thought it could have been a little better with what they had on the screen. They could have actually made the story a little deeper without doing anything differently, just a couple lines of dialogue. But otherwise, 8 out of 10, like really good.
Yeah, I liked it a lot.
I didn't have like the strongest feelings, but I didn't hate it. I thought I was going to hate it, like, really a lot. I liked the daughters. Yeah, it could have been very bad.
Oh, totally.
I liked the daughters more than I liked them, which I was also surprised.
My one worry was that this is going to end up being like a backdoor pilot to them getting their own series, but it is not pretty definitive, like how it ended and like what I was like them, like Bill and Ted having created them and them, you know, doing what they do to fulfill the destiny. Like it all made sense and felt good. And I really, really appreciated Bill's daughter, like in the way they did her and just, I don't want to ruin for anyone else that's seen it, but it was just done and no attention was called to anything. And it was just commonplace. It was awesome.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. And bringing back old characters and like,
but not at the same time, not like, oh, hey, remember Joan of Arc?
Yeah.
Hey, remember Napoleon? Like we don't need to see, like, you got to bring back Death.
Right. You got to bring back Death. Right.
Because he was such a major player. Like, well,
can we talk about Death the Robot? Because
I highlighted
the movie.
That was the guy who plays Noho Hank on Barry.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I had to look that up. Yeah.
Oh my god.
Yeah, I was like, that's why his timing is so, like, I'm like, this is a comedy guy. I feel like I should know, and I recognize his name. Yeah, I looked it up. That was friggin' Noho Hank.
Oh, I love him.
Oh, he's
I
so...
can't wait for Barry to come back.
It's the fact that it's not back now.
I know.
Sucked. It's so good.
Do you watch Barry?
I haven't. I've seen like the trailers and I've seen like clips, but I haven't had a chance to sit down and like dig into it. I usually watch things when they're done now. Like if something doesn't get, if something gets canceled early, like I feel like I wasted my time. So like now, at least three seasons or I can't commit.
Yeah, it's only two seasons.
Only two seasons.
And it's painful.
But man, the ending of that second season.
Ugh, that's why it's so painful.
Yeah.
HBO, right?
HBO.
Yeah.
I'm
confident that they'll finish it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're going to, I think it had a very strong showing at the Emmys or Golden Globes or whatever after the first season.
Yeah.
And it already was like one of their, I mean, and coming after, now they need a top show because I don't know if you heard what happened with Game of Thrones. Have you heard of the show Game of Thrones?
No, I haven't.
I tried not to.
Never speak of that show ever again.
Yeah. Although apparently Lovecraft Country is excellent.
Yeah, it's great.
Yeah.
That's a great show. If you're not watching that, well, I guess you're not.
3 years. You should... 3 years I'll watch it.
3 years I'll watch it. Boo!
By then we could talk about my big book at that big publisher.
Yes! Right. Perfect! And then we'll talk about, we'll revisit Lovecraft Country.
Right.
Are we done talking about Bill and Ted already?
Yes, we are.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know. Oh, well, I wanted to talk about how it was weird that they didn't smile very much.
Oh, yeah.
You and I were talking about this,
Before the podcast. Yeah, that was the thing I didn't like the most. It was just, they had, like, especially Keanu Reeves. It was mostly Keanu Reeves' deadpan face.
Right.
Which is kind of what I always had a problem with him and his acting, or his lack of acting. He just had no expression.
Yeah.
You hire him to be himself, right? Like, you know what you're getting when you hire him. But also, like, this is probably the first time I ever saw Keanu, and I didn't think it was good. And contrary to what you just said, I think maybe he's too good an actor to play this role now. Like, he's too good in his ways, and he's too, like, he couldn't slide backwards. Like,
whereas Alex Winter has stayed the same.
Poor Alex.
He's on a comeback tour right now. This is it.
Now he's going to start getting all the roles.
Well, he was talking about this script back in, I looked this up, 2011 was when he was like, we're doing it. We're definitely doing it. And because it was so long ago, I was like, yeah, all right, whatever, dude. I know that you need this.
Is that why they kept saying 25 years when it was like 30 years?
Well, it's not quite 30 years because The Last One came out in 91.
Oh.
I thought that was only 1 year off. Yeah, they should have said 30 years.
It was driving me crazy. I was like, but it's been 30 years, not 25. It's like, maybe the script was written then.
25 years is a reference to the last time they had like a successful gig 4 years after the last movie.
It was very confusing.
Sure, that makes sense. They were like, because all the stuff that happened at the end of the second movie, they were like the biggest stars in the world. They played the first concert on Mars, did happen.
Now
it's like, how the mighty have fallen. Like how Boyz II Men plays county fairs now.
Well.
Right. Yeah.
Well, though.
Right. Yeah. They're still good. I guess Bill and Ted. Well, Bill and Ted, because they were like, we have to unite the world of our music. We can't just, like, keep playing the same hits.
But that song, by the way, not the best song I've ever heard.
But it reminded me of the Arcade Fire. And then cameo Win Butler from the Arcade Fire.
That's how he wrote the song?
I guess he wrote the song.
Wow. Well,
yeah.
Probably why it reminds him.
Cool.
You don't like the Arcade Fire?
I used to like them, and now it's just like, stop playing so many instruments. Like, I play 20 instruments.
You don't like the hurdy-gurdy?
I do not like the hurdy-gurdy. All right. Just 9,000 instruments on stage. I like it broken down. Just play three.
The one standout from the whole movie, though, was Kid Cudi just coming in explaining time travel.
Oh.
Emmy-worthy.
Incredible.
I had no business talking about time travel that way.
Yeah, that was so funny. Of all the weird, random, yeah. And then he didn't like do anything when they made the song, right? He was just kind of there.
No,
he was just like, hey guys, I'm Kid Cudi, and I'm here to,
he rapped, right? A little bit.
Time displaced, though. He wasn't chosen for the band. He just happened to end up there.
Right. They didn't go get him, yeah. Because, I mean, not to smack on Kid Cudi, but I feel like if you had a time machine to get the best... When I saw he was in the movie, I was like, they didn't use the time machine to get Kid Cudi, did they?
where was he displaced through time?
From the present.
He just showed up, right?
He just showed up outside Bill and Ted's house.
Right.
Yeah.
I was confused about that, because there was all people coming from different points of time, and I was like, isn't he in the present?
Yeah.
He sure knows a lot about physics.
Well, I mean, I think it was Kid Cudi from like 5 years ago when he was like peak fame.
Oh, okay. See, it was 5 years ago from now. That's why it was 25 years ago.
Sure, yeah.
Because Kid Cudi was famous.
Right.
Remember who else got more love? I forget her name, but the woman who voices the character on Bob's Burgers.
Kristen Schaal.
I love Kristen
as Rufus's daughter, yeah. Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. She was good.
Yeah, she was awesome.
Yeah,
she could have done more, though.
I mean, also, they got Beth Bennett to play Ted's younger brother.
Yes, I know. Yeah. Same thing. Yeah. Like, both of them are such, like, comedic geniuses. I was like, why don't they do more things?
Yeah.
But still like to see them.
And also, Dave Grohl only had one line. We're spoiling it for everyone.
Yes, we are. Love Dave Grohl, though.
No. Yeah, that was that.
No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, we missed the joke because it cut out.
Yeah, I'd like to, at this point, apologize to all our listeners. We're just doing this, recording this over Zoom, so if a good chunk of Frank's dialogue is missing, sorry.
They won't know.
Yeah.
True. We will post the video then.
Oh, we'll post the whole video.
Yeah, we'll post the video.
We'll put it up somewhere.
We'll put it up. YouTube. We have a YouTube channel.
Can we put up like an hour-long thing?
I think so.
All right, sweet. Then we'll do that.
Why not?
Yeah.
YouTube doesn't care.
Right.
You can post anything there. Anything.
Wager to me. Are we good? How long are we doing this?
Like an hour-ish.
Okay, cool. Frank, do you want to go ahead and tell us the big deal you have coming up that you can't tell us?
Yeah. I'm going to be writing Moon Knight for DC.
Nice.
Awesome.
Finally.
We're going to have Keanu Reeves on art just to tie this all together. Keanu in a mask. Just look for that in 2029.
We're going to the future.
Right.
Awesome. Well, where can we find you at on the interwebs?
You find me at my house all the time now.
Uh-oh.
But, Twitter, Instagram, it's just all You can email me at Frank.
At Frank Google, sweet.
At Frank.
Yeah.
Probably good that part cut out.
Yeah, that part cut out, so now our listeners don't have your personal email address. Okay. Right, but we definitely have to.
you're frozen, and then you're unfrozen.
Yeah.
Well, it's good that it ended here.
Yes. Yeah. Thank you guys so much for listening. This has been the Escapist Comics Podcast. 7 days a week, and buy comics from us.
That was really fast.
That's fine.
Okay. I'm Jessica Balboni.
I'm Jacob Rubin. Thanks to Frank Gogol for coming and hanging out, and we'll see you guys next time.